There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello! Welcome to Copy in Copenhagen. My name is Owen and I'm with Abby.
Hey.
And I'm also with Marius.
Hi, hello, hello.
This is a podcast about life in Copenhagen.
I want to think of a cool way to be like
I'm actually
American.
Doing the intro.
I know, but you know, Marius does this cool thing every time.
Well, he just says hello in Danish in a different way.
Yeah, and like, hey, so Alison.
That's all right.
That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
You sounded a bit like Bamse. Do you know who Bamse
yeah.
is?
Yeah.
Hi, Bamse.
That was really
thank
good.
Thank you. I've seen Bamse.
I feel, unfortunately, like this is also true when I speak French, but I do it a lot better.
You sound like a teddy bear.
Well, I do just a lot better if I'm making fun of them.
Oh, yeah. I was at a casting recently where they asked me, can you do any other accents? I said, I could do a French accent.
Can you?
I mean, I can do an offensive French accent.
Uh-huh, okay.
So I did that and they was like, okay.
Well, to be fair.
Maybe don't be offensive.
To be fair, I think the French are offended by any accent that isn't actually their own.
Oh, they love it.
French hate from Abby.
I don't hate the French. What an assumption.
You have said pretty much the words before.
The start to this podcast is just
listen
all over the map.
Oh, and welcome to Copenhagen. That's my Irish accent, apparently.
Do we want to start this again?
No, this is a great start. This is a great start.
Go back to it.
Commit.
Yeah. All right.
Commit.
Yeah.
This is a podcast about life in Copenhagen. It's about life in Denmark. It's about life in Scandinavia. I can't even. Am I still committing?
Yes.
Is this still committing?
Yeah.
Sounds like you're backing out. Me and Abby are committing.
We feel great about this, Owen. We feel great about it. And we're the ones who the French are going to hate.
It's also about
What's
life.
What's your problem?
In general. Like I said, I'm Owen, that's Abby, and that's Marius. I'm Irish, she's American, and he's Danish.
I'm Danish, yeah.
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 That's it.
That's how the cookie crumbles.
That's it.
What are we going to talk about today, guys?
How are we doing?
I think we have 92 reviews on Spotify. That is 8 away from a face cake with Marius's face on it.
Mm-hmm.
That is...
No, it's your face.
Abby's my face?
Yeah.
Get them in! Oh my God, I want a cake with my face on it so bad. Are you guys kidding? It's mine?
Yeah.
The
100 Spotify is Abby's face.
Please rate us on Spotify. Please, 5 stars. If it's less, I think it still counts towards my cake, but I prefer 5. If we get to 100, I get a cake with my face on it. Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
Please. I didn't realize. I wasn't motivated by this before. I was like, it's just another Marius face cake. Please give me this cake.
So many Marius face cakes we've had on the show.
It was Marius's birthday yesterday.
It was.
Happy birthday, Marius.
I guess it was 2 days ago because this is coming out Friday.
Oh, then forget about it.
I take it back. Wait till next year, Marius.
Yep.
And how else are we doing? We got some emails this week. Thank you so much. Lots of people writing in, sending us pictures of what brooms look like. Loved that. Thank you, Kimberly. Thanks, Clint.
Very clear definitions of this is a push broom because you push the broom.
We needed it.
I just want to clarify that they all confirmed what I said.
The way I saw it was wrong. If you're listening through Copenhagen Post, thank you very much for joining us. If you're on Spotify, you know that Abby's really, really excited about getting a face cake, so give us a 5-star review on that. iTunes also has a place you can leave a review. Do that, because that really helps.
Basically, what we're trying to do is make this podcast so we can keep doing it and start getting paid for it. So, and the way that you can help that happen is by rating us, reviewing us, sharing it. If you share the episode in like a Facebook group, it's really helpful. Somebody did that this week and somebody called us a bunch of hippies. Which we liked.
Woke hippies.
Woke hippies.
Woke propaganda hippies.
So if you if there's a Facebook group you could share a link to an episode you like in, we might get called names. And you know what? When we get called woke hippies four more times, we get another Marius face.
Yeah. That's a double, two face cake.
It says the art right on it.
Yeah,
it's not a Marius face cake. It's a face cake with a picture of the cover of the Made Up magazine that you run, which is the art right.
It's an online blog.
An online, but it's the cover of the online blog.
Yeah, it's the cover of the online blog.
All right, the way we do this podcast is we talk about experiences, we talk about and news that may find its way onto our screens.
Are you okay today?
No, I don't know why I'm not. I thought I was doing fine, and yeah, that's it, because we have our own experiences and we have stories to tell. I got a few things I want to talk about.
Okay,
so I mention Scandinavian often when I say we talk about Scandinavian news. I'm going to go just push a little further, up north, you could say, to the Nordics.
Okay.
Which would include what two countries that we normally don't talk about?
I refuse to be tested. Okay. I have my own experiences.
If I mention Scandinavia, the Scandinavic countries.
Okay.
Scandinavian
this is a
countries.
Test for me.
Oh, here. Okay. It's turned into a test. Yeah. All right. Scandinavian countries. Name them.
Sweden.
Yeah.
Denmark.
Yeah.
Norway.
Yeah.
Finland sometimes.
No.
Sometimes.
Never Finland.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the test.
And there's one more? Okay, Sweden, Denmark, and
now you just repeat
Norway.
Yeah. If I say the Nordics, what are we talking about?
Finland. Iceland.
Hey! Iceland had a strike this week.
Whole of Iceland?
Every woman in Iceland, yes.
Oh, every non-binary, woman in Iceland.
Okay. Well, it was women went on strike on Tuesday this week. Non-binary and women went on strike, and it was interesting because Iceland, for 14 years in a row, has been the country with the the World Economic Forum has voted them the best for gender equality in pay.
Okay,
and they went on strike for equality and women's rights.
So they won more equal rights. Well, more equal pay.
Yeah. Well, so they went on strike in
because 80, even the most 70. Equal isn't equal.
Yeah.
Let's be clear. The most the closest to equal in this world is still not. Okay, so then what did they say? What did they say and what did they strike? As in they didn't go to work?
Yeah, so they didn't go to work, and also I think
well, who cleaned the houses and made the food?
Well, I think there was that as
He's
well.
He's 39.
There was women at home and went on strike as well. The reason this is okay, so the reason is pretty clear. They want to recognize that equality needs to be better.
How good are they?
Good. I mean, they're the best, so I don't know exactly.
Okay.
I think I'll just be quiet for the rest of this conversation. We can listen to two men have a conversation about how equal is in the world and in Iceland. What does it say? What is that? Read us the article.
The whole thing?
No.
No.
Important parts.
Just the facts.
How equal, what they did, how the strike was.
We don't know how the strike
was. Did everyone learn their lesson?
Did Björk also strike?
I would say so. If she understands.
I would say she makes more than her.
Yeah, she's dragging
male
it up.
Iceland
she's dragging it up.
Pop mm-hmm. stars.
She's actually she's skewing. Actually, yeah. It is because it's the most equal because Björk lives there, and they only have five other musicians, and she's doing better than them.
Oh. Yeah. Sigur Rós are from there, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's the other four.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
No, so it comes from Iceland went on strike. 90% of women went on strike in 1975 in Iceland. And the next year, Iceland made pass some laws, and that has helped them.
What were the laws that passed, to say?
I don't have it in front of me. But
so in 75, they did a strike and it worked.
Yes.
And you said 90%?
Of women went on strike.
That's amazing. Also for a country where, that must have really been felt. Because what are they, 400,000?
But the Prime Minister went on strike as well, which is I found very interesting.
Cool.
But I like the idea. I like the idea that, what Abby
but
said.
But then
that,
she's striking against her own government.
Yeah.
That's a strong stand.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm assuming she's a woman. Yeah.
And it's also the fact that they are the best, technically, according to the WEF, that you can still be okay, but we don't stop looking for equality.
Yeah.
And
they have the philosophy, let's say, that a better gender pay is going to directly affect violence towards women as well.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm. So the closer you can get equality there is like you're actually going to hopefully affect violence against women as well.
They also they ran in Iceland a test of this basic income, like what's it called?
Universal basic
income.
I thought that was Norway.
I love that.
No, they did it in Iceland. Okay. They've done it in several countries, but Iceland did a test.
Denmark
also
next,
and that was
Denmark
also
next.
That was also part of sort of yes, this test sort of, or at least I'm pretty sure studies have shown that it's helped towards sort of women feeling more independent and not sort of having to be in a abusive relationship, mm-hmm. sort of having more autonomy. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Because women are also are often the primary caretakers of children and rely on income that comes from their partner. These are the reasons behind things like that, not just that women want someone to pay for them. I don't think that Marius, although he has a blog called The Art Right, thinks that, but I wanted to clarify.
Yes.
Okay, but do you think we're going to get called dirty hippies for this conversation?
Oh, for
number
sure.
One. Oh, amazing.
I mean, just talking about the news?
Yes. And the other thing, question I have for you, this is a theoretical question. I think I have an answer for it, but I'm curious what you guys think. So if there is a strike, a universal strike in a country by women and non-binary people to show the impact of the work that they do to like equalize gender, like equity in gender pay, do you think it is like then like allyship if men strike also that day? Or is it like more, you're more of an ally if you go to work and then you feel the impact and you like you do it and then it's like a clear representation?
I feel like I shouldn't strike because I would be diluting their strike. If I'm cis male, I would be like, well, I'm not being called on to strike, then no, I'm not going to bandwagon and look like I agree too, but because it's not actually my fight.
But then again, the impact is more, the more people who strike, the more the sort of impact is.
Yeah, but I don't want to dilute the action by being like, everybody did it. Wait, hold on. Everybody did what was it actually for?
It's interesting because I would say generally, if there's a strike for an issue, it's helpful to join the strike. And this isn't maybe a case where, no, it's like, it's helpful to see that like
how,
actually
I don't understand how you're diluting it.
You're not diluting. It's just like the idea is that you feel the impact of the work that women and non-binary people do. Mm. You feel the impact of like, what are they being paid equal for it? What are they giving? What are they contributing? And then if that's taken away, that's the idea. And that men need to feel that maybe to be motivated to like pay them equally.
Sure, but I also think like I think there comes a point where when I'm saying diluting it, I mean like I don't want to just seem like I'm bandwagoning on something. Like if there's a strong stance being taken, because I'm not female, and nor do I like recognize myself in any bracket that would fit into that. That I don't think it would help for me to go on strike on it. It's like, it's different to be like go to a march or a parade or a protest or something like this, right? But to go on strike for something that I'm technically not involved in, I think I'm taking away from the impact of it.
Well, also, I bet they're smart. I bet Icelandic people are pretty smart, and they made like lists of like ways you can support this.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder there. I'm going to look it up for next time. Yeah. I think this is a good conversation. Yeah. Good one.
Yeah.
Good job, Iceland. Well done.
Yeah.
Also, I would just like to make it clear to the Danish government, to Denmark, to everyone who's listening, that I am very open to Denmark trying a universal basic income. Happy to be a guinea pig.
I gotta say, I don't think it's gonna work. I'm all
Owen.
Yeah, I know.
What, they're not gonna call you a dirty hippie for that?
No. It's not about not trying it. I'm all up for trying, but I think if you made it universal, there would be a certain drive lost in society.
And for what? Like, what do we need? We are driven off a cliff. Like, I don't think we need any more drive.
Yeah.
I think that a nice thing about Denmark is that there is significantly less drive. There are significantly less people working 80-hour weeks.
Meta Ferguson's telling people to get get back in the work saddle. She's like asking people to go work harder now.
But that's not what the world needs. Do you know what I mean? Like, it only is what we need to, like, maintain a certain level of, like, capitalist growth, which isn't actually necessary or good.
Yeah. And studies don't show that there's a drop in drive.
In Norway, it did shift. In Norway, there was a drop in productivity in a recent. This is coming from my memory. I remember reading that a recent one, like 2-3 years ago in Norway, failed. Because there was a drop in productivity.
This is the only kind of conversation.
They don't need basic income.
No, Norway's doing fine. Yeah, Norway's doing fine.
They should have universal basic income. Then they should, because then it should just be spread evenly among people instead of like some really rich billionaires. Like, this is the only kind of thing that ever makes me want to be like an economist, and then I would fall asleep immediately at like so many other parts. But this kind of thing is like the only reason we think we need to increase productivity is because that's like the path we're on.
No. When I say productivity, put the Norwegian thing aside. Let's just talk about what I meant. Right? I mean that I think people will like giving people universal income. It might do a lot of good in certain sections. Of course, I'm sure there are people who've written very like well-researched papers that can prove it. But there's like, if you make it universal, there are sections of society that will still not feel a scene. Let's say, right, and there won't be a drive to become part of the society in any productive way that you think it might do. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm saying that if you create this universal thing, I don't think we're going to see the problems we have go away. I think there's a lot more we need to do than just have universal income.
Sure. But like a lot of people's problems are that they don't have money. And like there is enough money in the world. Like there's enough money.
Sure. But yes. Yeah. But it's about having like a good, happy, productive society as well. When I say productive, I don't mean in the capitalist sense. I mean like actually people interacting, being happy.
But don't you think that enables people to do that? Like if I am not constantly under the pressure of having to do my 9-to-5 job,
I think a lot of people just stay home.
No, because I think a universal basic income is
because that's not
going to
make people happy staying home.
Yeah.
But I don't think money is going to make anybody happy.
But it's not the money, Owen. It's the freedom of not having to worry about money that gives you the opportunity to see, like, what am I actually passionate about?
But I don't think I don't think it would be Marius.
You're basing this on nothing, though. That's just kind of a feeling.
But there are actual
studies that show that doesn't show this. And I don't think it's in Norway. I just tried to look it up. It isn't Finland you're talking about.
Is it Finland?
Yeah, right. And I've read about this. And there could be ways to sort of these results can be slightly skewed. I won't go into it because I haven't had time to read it. But like where, yes, that might seem like a drop in productivity, but then that had other beneficial sort of effects, like people were better at sort of giving, you know, taking care of their children. Like it has potential and people are less sick, so it costs less money for the society. Like also, there's a lot of adverse effects that are also positive.
Sure.
As I understand it too, like, I mean, not that I'm against people getting a universal living wage income, but as I understand it, that is almost never what it is, a universal basic income in trials. It's like I've read studies that are like about, I think in Philadelphia they did it for young mothers. They did a program where they got like $1,500 a month for like a certain amount of time. And again, I am just remembering these facts.
Yeah.
Like if Marius is going to look them up, please tell us. but it's like not enough to just like you're not sitting there eating bonbons, but you're like you have money for rent and you can like look at the way that your life looks without like desperation. I mean, I feel like for me, so I got so much of that feeling from moving to Denmark because I didn't get a universal basic income, but I did get health insurance for me and my family. I did get like a place to live where rent, like I couldn't have afforded to live alone. I lived in New York in a really lucky situation, but in a situation where we lived in a 2-bedroom apartment with a roommate. And like I got like school for my kids weren't in daycare before, like things like that. Like I feel like I got the benefits of like a universal basic income without getting I do get a quarterly stipend from the government because I have kids. So for each of my children, I think I just got it, and it's like it's something like $500-$600 a quarter. It's like $3,000 or $4,000.
Yeah.
At the ages that my kids are, it's $3,000 or $4,000 kroner a quarter. So four mm-hmm. times a year. So over the year, I get like $2,000 or something. Maybe it's like $3,000 mm-hmm. that are just like because I have kids and because the country that I live in now miraculously sees that as like a service that I do for society, which it is.
Yeah.
And I think like a universal basic income is kind of an extension of that feeling. So here, like when I moved to Denmark, I could start like an artist. Like I did start doing art stuff for money. Whereas in America, I was like an educator for money. And there was really no chance to see if that would work. And here it became that. I don't know. I think that it's like a big jump to be like, no, there's no universal income. And then to like, yeah, everybody makes enough so that like they can do whatever they want mm-hmm. for the year. And I would like to be, I'm not even a dirty hippie enough to like know if I want that. But some baseline of safety, I think it sounds great.
Sure. And I don't want to be misconstrued thinking like, oh, you can't give money to people for nothing. Like, I'm not.
What are we going
to
name Owen's block?
I'm not saying that. It's purely saying I think that wouldn't be an answer to a proper equality within society. I think
right,
sure,
it wouldn't solve every problem.
No, and I'm sure yeah. you would make things a lot. And I know there's people listening and people out there would be like, fucking anything to help us financially yeah. in these yeah. situations, of mm. course. But I don't think it would be like, oh, and if we did this, things would be better.
You don't think it would be better?
No, as in like, okay, if we did that, things are just going to get better. I don't think it would be like, I think it would, there'd be a period of you know, oh, okay, this is great. That's all. But I don't think it fixes society's problems. I think we're going
like
to come back
some.
To some,
like
sure,
some, yeah,
sure, some,
like
but,
some big ones. Mm.
Okay, but I don't know. I don't think so. I think we'll find. I think you give it too much credit. I think we're going to fall back into the traps that are always there. People who, if we're still going to be a capitalist and a profit-searching country, it's still going to be finding ways of doing that.
But yes, I agree. But also, I think like this is a way of toning that down.
But
because right now you got, it's like got to be, I mean, in Denmark, so much less than America, like so much less than my experience in America, like the hustle culture, like is not a real thing here. But if everybody were making like a universal basic income, if everybody could take their foot off the gas that much, then it would be a shift in like whatever, like in capital, like you wouldn't have to take a shitty job mm-hmm. that like promotes a capitalist economy mm. in the same way that you do now. You wouldn't have to like join that like pursuit as readily,
sure.
which I think that's really appealing.
It also makes it way harder for like yeah people to push down wages. Like
yeah.
if I have my yeah. sort of basic income covered, mm-hmm. like I'm not going to accept some bullshit salary. Because I am like fucked if I don't have something.
Mm-hmm.
So like it gives way more sort of I can respect myself a bit. Sort of, I think that's just a massive sort of improvement on
sure.
most people's lives.
Sure, maybe it does a lot more good than it does.
And think of the bureaucracy not. We get to cut out with all the fucking people on social benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole bureaucracy there. We're already kind of spending the same amount of money.
Deal
I've heard
here
some
in Denmark. Yeah, yeah.
politicians say that like we could basically save money by doing the UBI mm-hmm. in Denmark instead of having what we have now. I don't know if that's completely true, but like I did hear an economist say that, and like mm. and just purely in the fucking bureaucracy of it all, it would also save so much time.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, this is the thing I was talking about. It's $500. Given monthly to 50 low-income Philadelphia residents as a test for the next year, and 250 is given monthly to 250 otherwise. So like that makes like a huge difference, and it's $500 a month. Like the Danish government, like that's a fucking like nothing about an eye out here. Like that is also. The Danish government pays a lot of people who have, like, for parental leave or, like, subsidizes parental leave. If your job mm. won't pay you a certain amount or you can't get a certain amount from your job. When you have a kid for the first year, the Danish government will subsidize that. And I'm just like, yeah, that is really helpful. It makes a huge difference for families here. I think it makes a huge difference, like, to the way that you, like, bond with your kid, the way that you, like, approach parenthood,
mm.
the people that go into parenting.
I'm not going to argue that there's benefits to this. I'm not going to argue that it's a good thing to try. But I will say that I think, purely my thoughts, I think we...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Would not have everything solved. It would not be the end-all, be-all solution to a lot of the things that we think it is. I think we will find problems that are much deeper ingrained in society.
But then we'll get to work on them. Like right now, it's going to be the money thing for so long. Like it's and the money exists. Like right now, like, oh, and I really don't think, like, I think you are like a really thoughtful, I think he's a great guy, guys. But like, I'm just like, but the thing I think like that blows my mind is this money just exists in the world. Yeah. It's not like we would have to like steal it from someone else. This money exists in governments. It exists in like very, very wealthy people who can never spend this much money. It exists in the world. And the way that I think about it is like, well, what happened if we just,
yeah,
you know, and yeah. I don't know. I just think the way that it is now, there are all these problems and there's like only, it's like the Maslow's
like,
pyramid
boom,
of
no
like
more
problems
poverty.
We can look at.
No more poverty.
Boom.
I think we need to completely change our economics for that, though.
I think it would like, help change
see, so,
it.
And I, yeah. So, but I just think, just fucking do it.
What's, do you know what the beauty of this podcast and many podcasts is? Is that we don't have to know a goddamn thing.
No.
order to
it's just
think
opinions.
About, I know, isn't it nice? And also, potentially dangerous, except for I think this is a good idea. Tell us what you think. Write to us at Coping in Copenhagen. Call us dirty hippies.
Copenhagen at gmail.com.
Oh, yeah, that's the one. Finish the freaking email address, will you? Don't get so lazy. Okay, great.
See, that's what happens when you get universal income.
Yeah, you just get lazy. You just leave off the rest of the... I sometimes write, actually, whenever I try to email our email address, like with something or forward something, I like have it accidentally saved in my phone as copingincopenhagen at gmail.com. And every time I get the bounce back.
No.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Does anybody know how to fix that?
Change
how you've saved.
Saved
it. I know, but it doesn't want to.
Anyway. In other Scandinavian news, I'm just going to fly
sure.
by this because that took way too long. That like
I
spent
loved it.
Way too much of
I opened that
can of worms.
UBI can of worms.
Sweden got its dictionary. Sweden got its dictionary back.
You have to explain this to me. Why don't they have a dictionary
already?
It took
140 years for them to get a dictionary with like 100 and something people working on it full time, and they officially have a dictionary now. And they're even going to have to go back because like A to R needs to be revised again because they need to find it again. I don't know. It doesn't actually explain why it took so long, but it started like 1510 or something. They wanted to get all the words.
1510?
Yeah, so that's when this project started, yeah. And Sweden has, they officially have a dictionary. It's online, and there's only 200 printed copies available. And they're going to go to like people who actually need it.
Good.
Yeah.
Don't fucking print a bunch of dictionaries.
Yeah, yeah. That's all I'll say about that.
Okay.
We can move on.
Fair enough. I have so many questions to that, but okay. I will talk about another not so positive thing.
Woo!
So there's been a study, an EU study, looking into black people in the EU and how much racism they're facing. And according to this study, they're facing more today than they did back in 2016, according to this study. Almost half of the African descent in the EU face racism and discrimination in their daily life, arise since 2016, according to the second Being Black in the EU reports by the EU Agency for Fundamental Rights, FRA. So, yeah, it's been looking at sort of different EU countries. The report analyzes the response of over 6,700 people of African descent living in 13 countries, Austria, Belgium, Denmark, Finland, France, Germany, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, Portugal, Poland, Spain, and Sweden. 45% of the respondents said that they experienced racial discrimination in the 5 years before the survey, an increase on the 39% recorded in 2016. In Germany and Austria, the figure was over 70%. So that's pretty, that's not looking too good. If we look at Denmark, Danish discrimination in numbers, based on this survey, Denmark stood out in a few areas. It had one of the highest 5-year rates of racist violence, which is tragic to hear. We are 8% off, where 8% of respondents said they have experienced incidents.
Wow.
Yeah. Finland was the highest at 11%, followed by Germany at 9%.
Finland?
Yeah. Denmark ranked highest on the amount of respondents who are aware of equality bodies. And I had to look that up to understand what they mean.
Trampolinehus.
Yeah.
Does that, because that'd be like the third week in a row we mentioned it.
You got it in there, Owen. Good job. Equality bodies promote equal treatment by providing independent assistance to victims and of discrimination.
Trampolinehus.
Yeah, it is like, I think it is, it's under the European Commission or something. Not looking too good here in Denmark. And quite shocking that there like has been no improvement, basically, that it's going...
It's gone backwards.
Yeah, backwards. Director Michael O'Flaherty from the FRA said, it's shocking to see no improvement since our last survey in 2016. Instead, people of African descent face even more discrimination just because of the color of their skin. Could be because we are also seeing more sort of, and I feel like we've been seeing that for the last 10, 20 years, like a rise in populism here in Europe also.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, exactly, right? It's like 2016 is pretty much when the populism started coming back strong.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Italy.
Denmark.
Denmark, America.
You guys want more bad?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Yeah, so we're getting international attention at our race for our racism and classism in Denmark.
Great.
Yeah. In the New York Times today, there's a big old article that my friend Sally Chu sent. Thank you. Thank you, Sally. Denmark aims a wrecking ball at non-Western neighborhoods. Non-Westerns in quotes. And this is about... get a law in Denmark and how they are just, the government is tearing down communities that have high immigrant population. It says a government program is using demolition and relocation to remake neighborhoods with immigrants, poverty, or crime. And it's a whole big article that I literally just got. It's in the New York Times today, October 26th. So yesterday when you guys hear this. But I'm going to read it and we can talk about it next week. That's great that it's getting international attention. I think that helps a lot in this country is when Denmark gets international attention for its shittiness. I mean, that's why an immigration law changed last year is because the EU courts said it had to.
Yeah.
It's like they need outside pressure because I think the Danish government and Danish people are so used to thinking of themselves as like the heroes of the story that like it really
and there's so much
the
trust
narrative.
In the government.
Yes.
Like, we have such a high degree of trust. So yeah, I think
no, I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds awful. Yeah. It sounds racist. It sounds bad.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that we've thought about it. It's kind of like I think the tone that people take. They're like, well, I'm sure there's a good reason.
Yeah.
And I think you know, in a lot
I
of ways,
have a saying in Danish, if det lugter fisk, så er det sgu nok en fisk.
If it smells like fish, then it's probably fish.
Yeah.
Which
if
is
it
nice.
Looks like racism, it probably is racism.
Yeah. I think they should think about that a little bit more. Anyway, we're going to read it. We'll talk about it next week. Can we post this on our Facebook, on our
yeah,
on
sure.
our Instagram? We'll post the link to this New York Times article.
Very
all
good.
Right. I don't okay, I want to things are heavy in this episode. I want to approach this topic, but I want to do it in a better way. How can we talk about this? How can we talk about this without just fucking falling?
What, this topic that we're talking about?
Well, but same. What Myers was talking about as well.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
but this is the thing, right? Do we that's an option. That's an option not to talk about it. That's okay. But like, do we ignore it? Do we recognize it? How do we make it better? What? You said this thing. This is a fact. We have this information in front of us now. How, as people living in Denmark, as people who are involved in this situation, by you know, location. How? What is? What do? You, what do you do with that information? We're sitting at sitting in the podcast studio, sitting at home. What the fuck do you do with that? Do you go out and try to be fucking nicer? Do you go donate to something? Do you fucking stick your head in the sand and be like, please let all this shit just go over me for a year and hopefully things are better in a year's time? Like, what the fuck do you do?
Well, I think it's important to say that we're three white people in a podcast.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And I think it's like, yeah, I mean, I don't think I have anything constructive to add to this topic right now, which doesn't mean I think it's important that we like talk about it, we say what's happening, and we listen to people who have more information and experience on the topic than us. But yeah, I mean, my immediate response right now is like, look, all this stuff. There's racism and there's xenophobia and there's classism in Denmark. Yeah. And I think we kind of did just talk about it for a really long time. And I'm okay with sticking my head back in the sand for now. And I'm so open and interested. If our listeners have experiences they want to share with us, if you guys have things that you think about this topic, please tell us. Really, truly, right now, my cup runneth dry.
But there's things. So I'm coming closer and closer to the place of like, I don't need to have an opinion on everything, right? Mm. Like, we're not in this particular case, but in general, there's a bunch of things I've seen in my proximity or whatever, and I'm like, you know, just shut your mouth about it, Owen. No one needs to hear what you think about that, right? And I'm okay with that. Like, there's a lot of things happening in the world, and I don't want to give my opinion on them because my opinion doesn't fucking matter in the long run with a lot of these things. Okay,
matters to me and Abby.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? As in, yeah, like, yeah, I'm just yeah. like, you know, I don't. We know how terrible these things are. But then there's this kind of thing where you're like, but I can't ignore that information. I can't ignore that I live in a country with a growing percentage of racism. Like, that's something I can't just be like, that shit, you know, like, I can, but is that, I don't think that's the correct thing. I think I need to somewhat fucking find some sort of positivity through it, or find some line that I can be like, at least I do this, or at least I have that opinion, or you know, I don't know. I'm struggling with it right now, as you can hear.
Yeah. And it's incredibly easy to get very apathetic about it, the whole situation also, because there is so much. But yeah, we are three white people, so I think what we can do is bring attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, we have a small platform here, so if we can lend that platform to people who are experiencing racism, that might be a thing we can do. But
if you're listening and you got a to-do list for Owen and the rest
of
us,
fucking send it on.
Send it on.
Yeah.
If someone's got an answer.
And then go be the best fucking person you could be out in society. I think that's what you can do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can feel quite overwhelming, and the easiest thing is to just close your eyes and ears.
So the last thing is that everything says that nobody's going to Christiania, the free town in Denmark, famously a drug trade in Christiania that is under a lot of supervision right now by the cops.
Supervision.
It's a supervised drug trade. I mean, that kind of what it was before. People were selling hash and marijuana, and then they were like kind of allowed to do it, or like not really allowed to do it, but like kind of allowed to do it.
There's a blind eye shown.
And now there's not a blind eye. There's an unblind eye pointed at Christiania, and apparently tourism in Christiania is down 50% for this time of year.
I know that the Pusher Street's still there, though. People are still
the actual
stuff.
Street. Or yeah, people are pushing.
People are still
okay,
pushing
yeah.
there. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going today. I have a show in Christiania today. I'm going to go. I'm going to report back next week. But apparently, like the word in this article in the Copenhagen Post by Lena Hunter, this article described the vibe in Christiania as spooky. Like desolate.
Like Halloween fun spooky?
Yeah, I mean, I was like,
maybe not. Don't bring the kids.
It's like foggy because of all the weed still being smoked.
There's some green clouds.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm gonna go tonight. I'm gonna do some comedy there. Last time I was there doing comedy was a couple months ago, and everyone was happy. Every single person who walked out of the EU and into Christiania, there's a sign that you walk under when you go in. It's like, you're now leaving the EU, and then you re-enter when you leave.
Like, I'm sure the what has happened out in Christiania, the shootings and the police and the increased awareness out there hasn't helped. But it is also, you know, the weather. It isn't as nice to go to Christiania right now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. No, but it said, I mean, the article, let's talk about the weather, but the article did say that usually there's like 50% more tourists this time of year and a lot of people come out for the market.
I mean, fuck it. That's it's expected. I mean, everyone goes because, oh, it's Pusher Street. Well, not everyone, but a lot of students. Yeah, students as well, actually. Tourists go because of that. And like that's exactly what they're trying to crack down on, right? I mean, and the government, the tourism board, and Christiania have said, please don't come and come here and buy stuff. I mean, it makes sense. People are listening, you know. It's going to trickle through to some people.
Oh, right. They said that. That's a good point.
Yeah, they all like, said, don't come.
Oh, right. Don't go to Pusher Street.
Yeah, don't come and buy weed.
Don't, yeah, but don't
like,
buy weed.
But you can still buy the ugly rug sweatshirts that they sell. By the way, I just went home to America, went through my mom's basement, and got rid of my ugly rug sweatshirt from when I was 18.
I don't.
So I can still get another one in Christiania.
I haven't had an ugly rug sweatshirt in
ages. Do you know that like they're like made out of? Well, they're like made out of like Mexican blankets, like those blankets, and like they're like poncho kind of things, but they're made into hoodies.
I have no idea what you're talking
about. Oh, you know, it's like the requisite like pothead gear. It's like,
a patchwork jumper or what?
Kind of.
Or a hoodie.
It's along those lines. It's in that theme.
Okay, fair.
But like, I'll show you. But yeah, if anybody wants to send us pictures of brooms and those hoodies, please do. But yeah, anyway, it probably is also affected by the weather, which has been rainy and cold as shit and a little depressing.
I am down this week. Yeah. I'm not feeling great. And I'm certain that the weather has got something to do with it.
Yeah. It doesn't help. It hits us every year.
It's the racism. It's the xenophobia. It's the weather.
It's the weather.
It all sucks right now in Denmark. Also, you know, like the thing is too, it's Halloween on Tuesday. Tuesday's not a great day for Halloween. So all the Halloween stuff in Denmark, now there is some. It all happens like in all of October and November. They have no respect for the actual date, October 31st. I actually organized the trick-or-treating in my building, and I organized it for Friday because I was like, maybe people will do it because, you know. But I was like, yeah, you know, it's like there is a real dearth, and that means absence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A real dearth of autumnal holidays, which we have talked about before, and I feel like that is a drag here, you know? Like, this is the week where in America, you're like, oh, yeah, it's getting cold, but that's spooky, and that's fun, you know? It's fun, and you're starting to get, like, you have your eye on the prize, and that's Halloween. Mm. And then after that, there's Thanksgiving. And right now, it does become a bit of a bummer in this country.
But there's that, but also, I mean, I think it actually has a physical effect. The weather, the darkness, the cold,
it
hits you fast, and it just, I don't know what it's like for Danes, but being a non-Dane coming here, I'm always like, oh, yes. Like, why am I having so little energy in the afternoons? Why am I finding struggling in the mornings now? Mm. Oh, fuck, it's the actual weather. And I look outside, and it's dark, and you're like, oh, yeah. Now, it's not, that's fine. There is a way of approaching this. You can get hygge. You can get your candles out. You can get those movies on. You can get all those nice things.
Go to the sauna.
You can approach this in a good way. But I'm always surprised when it hits me. I'm like, oh, yes.
I think you're excused to be surprised. Like, even having lived here a couple of years, as you have, I am equally surprised.
Really?
I think most Danes are like, what the fuck is happening?
Guys, this happens to me every month when I get my period. Every month I'm like, why am I so sad and mad?
Why is it dark outside?
Yeah, really, truly. Why is it dark outside? And
Made me understand that now.
Yeah, it's really, you do it once a year.
Yeah.
I do it every month.
Because I'm always like, how can this surprise you? Like, it's fair that it has effects on you, but how can you be surprised?
Surprised every time.
Now
every
I get
time.
It.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
This is the period for all of us. This is.
It's really true. I really actually, it's exactly what it feels like, too. I've often described it as I'm nearing my period. It's like my mood is on a dimmer switch. Mm-hmm. And so it like starts out with like the lights totally on in the room, and it goes down so slow you don't even notice that it's going down. Yeah. And then until you're like in the fucking dark and you're just like, why are the lights off? And then your period starts and somebody like flicks the switch all the way up to the top and you're like, Oh! Oh my God. But it's like being boiled, like a frog being boiled, right? That's the thing. It's like you don't even notice the temperature.
Oh, if
yeah.
Slowly increase it. Yeah.
But I have a question.
That's been debunked. Yeah. That's not true, by the way.
I've been boiled. I've been boiled a lot.
A few frogs at a time.
Listen, I'll debunk you. Okay, do you have autumnal holidays in Ireland? You guys do Halloween. You guys invented it, right?
We technically, but as in the pagan stuff. But we do
have Samsa. It's called something. Yeah, the pagan.
I think you're right. I'm not sure though. Yeah. We do Halloween and stuff, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah, but it's something. You know, I feel like if I were directing Denmark as a movie, I'd be like, you guys really got to put something in the final quarter. Like right at the beginning of the final quarter, you need a little lift with, like, I don't know music.
But they do it in their own, Danes do it, but indoors on their own in the house. They're like, I like the amount of times I've heard, it's the season for that, or oh, it feels like this now. Oh, we could have this
they
for dinner.
They do seem excited.
Like, yeah, there are things now on the table, like literally, and
now we can drink this.
Yeah, yeah.
Now we can drink that.
A lot about drinking.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. But it's like, and then like candles are lit, and like it is. It's works for everybody else, but I'm still like, but what's the point in any of it?
This your partner though? I mean, my partner has started lighting candles.
Yeah.
And that is kind of nice. I'm like, oh, that helps. It does help. Yeah, I wouldn't do it. He's Danish.
Yeah.
And he's just like, oh, it's time to light a candle. There's a candle lit at breakfast sometimes. I'm like, the fuck is this?
We've got new lights in certain positions, so it's like warmer. I just walked in and it's like that. I'm like, oh, okay. No, this is nicer.
It is good to be with a Dane, actually. Yeah. Like in terms of like cozy city.
This one is single, by the way. I have a lot of candles.
Right, if you want to date Marius.
Blankets, candles, slippers, sweaters, scarves.
He knows what you can drink when. Yeah.
No, the glug is for later.
The glug is for later.
All right, should we do some hot tips?
Yeah.
I got a ton of hot tips.
Ooh, thank God.
I got tons of them.
Tell us. Tell us.
Albert's on a Sunday in Aarhus. Yeah. I'm going to get out now. Albert's on a Sunday in Aarhus. If you're in Aarhus and you're at Albert's, it's on Sunday. There's comedy.
Very well done. Very well done. Okay, I got a bunch.
Go on.
It's Halloween on Tuesday. Nothing's happening, but just so you know. On November 4th, I'm hosting three amazing comics from the United Kingdom, and they are going to be at Comedy Zoo. I'm hosting it. It's going to be funny. It's this like series of events that this UK production company does here, and I get to do it again. It's really fun. On November 10th, I am also I'm doing comedy where I'm going to do a half hour of comedy.
Uh-huh.
A half hour. This is my big draw. People book me because maybe I'll say it on this podcast. But if people are still listening, they'll know. So November 10th, I'm doing a half hour of comedy with Jeff Bond and Ira Sylvester. And that's at Knock Knock in Copenhagen. November 11th, I'm at Bremen Theater, which is big. That's a big deal.
That's
they have
big
the
one.
Best backstage. They have a lot of like seats. It's fancy to be there. I'm there with three other comics that are traveling from other countries. And then I'm going to Aalborg at Drivhusel on the 12th, November 12th. And I'm going to remind you of that next week too. But you can come see me do comedy a lot of places. It's going to be great.
Marius, you got anything you want to...
Sure. Do you want to go cut some pumpkins?
Yes!
There we go.
At Grøntorvet Bylivsgruppe, so that's Grøntorvet, that's in a Valby, Paradis Æblevej 103. You can go get a pumpkin, cut it out, and they have pumpkins. You need to bring your own knives and spoons. They have juice for the children. You need to bring your own thermal mug. They're looking forward to an scary, hyggeligt, hyggeligt,
uncozy. Yeah. The direct translation of the
scary
is they say uncozy. What the this country?
They also encourage you to come dressed up.
Okay.
So this is
So, like I need encouragement.
Uh huh.
Check that out. Bring the kids.
That's it.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think it's good.
Me too.
That was three.
We did a lot again. Yeah. We've done a lot. We're doing a lot of heavy lifting.
Stay till next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.